Sukkah daf yud aleph amud beis. Taisus diri maschil psulin la'olam. To recall, the Gemara had recorded a machlokus between Rab and Shmuel concerning the famous principle of tasa v'lo mina osui. To briefly review, the rule teaches us that whenever there's a mitzvah object that the Torah requires some kind of asiyah, such as it does concerning sukkahs, as it says chag asukah is tasa l'cho, and such as tzitzis, where it says ve'asu lahem tzitzis, so there's a need for an asiyah. And that asiyah has to be that which makes the mitzvah object fit to be used. But if the asiyah is done at a time when the mitzvah object is not fit to be used, then we make the mitzvah object fit to be used through some kind of side act that is not directly relating to what is considered the primary mitzvah object, so then it's possible. A classic model of that that's not subject to debate is if you have, let's say, a mound of straw, and you put some extra straw on top, even l'shem tzeil, for the sake of shade, but right now there's no need for that shade because it's a total pile of straw and there's no inside. So then if one digs out the inside, which is referred to by the Mishnah later on Daf Tesvov as a chote tesagodish, where you dig out the inside, so the act that's supposed to make the mitzvah kosher, since the sukkah's primary component is the schach, when you put the schach on top, it was irrelevant because there was no cavity to sit in. When you did that act, it wasn't yet a sukkah, and you made the sukkah by digging out the hole inside, which is not really affecting the schach. So that's called tasa v'lo mina osui. So another example of placing schach on that is not yet in a state of kashrus is where you put on a vine or some other tree branch that's still attached to the tree, and you put it on top of the sukkah. That's the Mishnah, the Fyur Alef Amir Alef of Hidla Lava Sagefen. So when you put that vine on, it is not yet kosher schach. So the asiyah that you did was not yet in a state where it's kosher. So now we have to do some kind of asiyah to make it kosher. So according to Rav, which would have been the simplest reading of the Mishnah, that all you have to do is cut the vine, the ktsitsa. And that small act is considered enough of an act that it's as if you now did an act to kosherize the schach, and that is acceptable. By parallel, according to Rav, the same would be true concerning tzitzis, that when you have a very long string that's folded over into multiple loops, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then it's put into the holes, and then you tie it up. So now you have tzitzis that are currently pusul, because you have to have fringes, tzitzis, similar to hair, that is separate. So according to Rav, even though you put it in, and you made all the knots and the windings, and it's still not kosher, but your asiyah could be, the snipping of it also can be referred to as kitsitsa, or in this context, psika, that minimal act is considered an asiyah. That is Rav's view, both concerning sukkah, with respect to cutting the tree branch, the kitsitsa there, and his view concerning tzitzis, that it is sufficient to just snip those loops, even after the knots are already made. Shmuel, on the other hand, maintains that you need a more dramatic act, a more major act. Concerning sukkah, that would be that after you snip the vine, you have to lift it up and put it back on. And concerning tzitzis, it would have to be making all those windings and knots when you already have divided strings. So if you stuck it in when the strings were not divided, then you already made the windings and the knots. The only solution would not be just to snip them, but you would have to undo everything and then snip it and then make the windings and the knots. So now Tosus comment on the Gemara that quotes a brisa concerning tzitzis, parallel to machlokas concerning sukkah, on the top of the page, that if you hung the tzitzis, two lines on the top of Gemara, tron v'lo pasak rashi chutin, shelahen, psulin, that if you hung the tzitzis, and you made the windings and the knots, and you didn't yet snip the strings apart from each other, so it's puzzle. So my lav is the Gemara psulin la'olam. Shouldn't we say it's puzzle forever, and the only way to make it kosher would be to totally undo it? Utiyuf to the Rav. So Rav answers that no, it's only puzzle until you snip it. So Tosfos just comments on the initial kasha of the Gemara on Rav, psulin la'olam, kula amaroi v'kula shitasa kishmuel. That la'alacha, we're going to paskin like Shmuel, even though generally the rule should be Rav v'Shmuel, halacha k'rav b'isuri u'shmuel b'dini, that concerning matters, roughly speaking, dealing with Orachayim and Yoredeya, what's called Isser, so then we paskin like Rav, and only concerning matters dealing with Chosha Mishpat, that we paskin like Shmuel. monetary law. So here we have an exception because the overwhelming evidence from both the Amoraim, presumably Tosfos referring to the Amora Levi and also the Amora of Masna, who quotes a Maisa Rav that he asked the Shmuel the Shaila, and this is what he did. So all those Amoraim hold like Shmuel that you need a major act in order to not fall under the psul of Tasa Velomena Osui. You need a major Asiya that's done in order to make it kosher. And Kulishitosa refers to the Stam of the Gemara, where you have a Shakla Bataria, where it assumes one way without getting involved in the Machlekes. And all of that seems to follow Rav. What exactly is Tosa referring to Kulishitosa? So, somewhat mysterious, but it could be he's referring to the Dira Maschil and things like it, where the standard reading of that Brisa, that Psulim, would imply Psulim La'olam. And it's not enough just to snip the strings. And even though you could be Docha the Raya by saying that you could snip the strings, but the simplest reading is against Rav. So perhaps that's what Tosis means by Kulishitasa and things like it as well, where there are other Rayos brought by the Gemara against Rav, and Rav was able to defend himself, but the standard evidence seemed to point against him. Could also be that what Tosis is referring to is the end of the Gemara, where the Gemara suggests something that will be elaborated on later by a later Tosis, that there's a machlokus between Rav Shimon ben Yoitzedek and the Chachamim as to a case which we'll get to, Bezrat Hashem, concerning lessening the berries of a Hadas. And the Gemara originally thought that machlokus revolves around the machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, and that Rav would hold like the Chachamim, and that Shmuel would hold like Rav Shimon ben Yoitzedek. But then the Gemara is Docha and gives two different understandings of that Braisa. So again, the standard Gemara, the pshat that the Gemara seems to want to accept, is not like Rav. It could also be that Tosfos is referring to the Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, which Bezrat Hashem again we'll get to, which is parallel to that Gemara over there concerning the berries and the Hadassim, where the Gemara took for granted that a minor act such as removing the berries, which would be parallel to Rav's Ketzitza concerning Tzitzis and concerning Sukkah, the Gemara takes it for granted that if there would be a problem of Tasa Velomena Osui concerning Lulav, that it would be insufficiently solved by just plucking the berries. So that whole Gemara seems to go against Rav. So whether he's referring to various diukim on our Amud, or the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, which doesn't even mention the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and just takes for granted Shmuel's stance, so that one or more of those is what Tosis is alluding to by saying, Kula Shitosa, follow Shmuel. Most of the Amoraim, and most of the standard flow of the Gemara. Tosis continue, V'lo Amar K'tzisasan Zo Asiyasan. And we do not say that cutting them is considered the Asiyah. Presumably, at this point, Tosis is referring to both sukkah and tzitzis. Ktsitsa, cutting the branch that was put on top of the sukkah, and ktsitsa, cutting the strings in order to make them into 8 strings. And now Tosis applies it to sukkah, v'gabe sukkah, tzarech nianua. And concerning sukkah, you'd have to shake it up. Again, according to Rashi, you'd actually have to lift it up and put it back down for each vine that was placed on the sukkah in order to be a total act of placement on the sukkah. Concerning tzitzis, of course, it would mean to totally unwrap it and untie it, and then to start all over again. And this, indeed, is the accepted halacha in Shulchan Aruch, we're passing like Shmuel, that if you have a trained vine on a sukkah, it is insufficient to just snip it. Against the simple reading of the Mishnah, you'd actually have to lift it up and put it back down again. Tosfos Diri Maschil, the Shalfinu Shlufi. In one of the rayos that the Gemara brought against Rav, the Gemara quoted a braisa that reads as follows. Tasav lomina osui. Mikan omru, hidla alea sagefen, vesadlas, vesakisus, visiki chalgavan psula. Similar to our Mishnah, except here it mentions the reason for din, as possible because of tasav lomina osui, that if you train a vine or some kind of similar plant on top of the sukkah, it's psula. So the Gemara's medayek infers that brisa, if it says psula, must be talking about where you snipped it. Because if you didn't snip it, then it's not a problem of tasa lomana osui, it's a more fundamental problem that it's schach puzzle, because schach has to be detached from the ground. So it must be that you did snip it, and it's still puzzle, because that's not an insufficient act to qualify as an act of asiya, and you need to actually shake it or lift it up and put it back down, according to where Rashi explains what nanua means here. So that seems to be a contradiction to Rav. So the Gemara answers for Rav, the shalfinu shlufi. And all the Rishonim explained, even though as we shall see, there are various nuances as to exactly what it means. But it means you didn't cut it, let's say, with a knife or a saw, a pruning tool, but you broke it off by hand, twisted it around until it got detached. So Rashi explains, and this will be informative in order to explain Tosis as well, and this is based on a girsa that perhaps Tosis didn't have. We'll see about that as we continue. So the girsa we have in our Gemara, which Rashi clearly had as well, is Shalfenu Shlufi, Delo Minkara Asiya Didhu, that you broke it off somehow by hand, you twisted it off, and the Asiya that you did do, it's not noticeable. So Rashi explains that you twisted it off, and the simple reading of the Rashi is that it's totally detached, but unlike a clean break where people will clearly see that line there of the cut, and most likely there'll be a gap, I guess, as well. But here where you twist it off, so as a result of that act, it's jagged, so the fact that it is totally detached is not so noticeable, because the parts that are broken are still leaning on each other. So since it's not noticeable, that asiya is invalid. So several of the commentaries, both in the Rishonim and in the Achronim, explain that according to Rashi, it would be a psul derabanan. That's the language of lo minkara. It's not noticeable. Sounds like a rabbinic psul. That min haTorah, according to Rav at least, that would be considered an asiya, because there would be no fundamental difference whether you cut it with a knife or you cut it with your hands. The bottom line is once it's detached. And now it's chach kosher with your act of detaching it. But midrabanan, since it's not really noticeable, so it's still a problem. So, Tosis now begin and ask as follows. Ksas kosher is difficult. The Brisa explains that it's possible because of tasa lona osui. So, how is Tosis understanding Shalfinu Shlufi such that he's asking that the Brisa says that there's a problem of Tasavana Osui and somehow there should be some other problem? That's the implication of Tosis, that he's bothered by the fact that with the Shalfinu Shlufi, that creates some kind of psul that is not a problem of Tasavana Osui. And therefore he's asking, Tzaskosha, it's a little bit difficult on the first time of Brisa, Mishim Taslum and Asui. But Shalfinu Shlufi should be a different problem. What is that different problem? So the Aruch Lener, and this is what is directly implied by the Tosis of Beinu Peretz, if we accept that our Tosis is intending what he said as well, the Tosis default, which is quite logical, is to go with Rashi's understanding. So according to Rashi's understanding, it is detached. So on a Torah level, it is an asiya, and it's not a problem of tasulum and asui. So now Tosis is asking that the Brisa says that it's asir because of tasulum and asui. It sounds like on a Torah level. So how could Rashi give a svara that it's only a problem on a rabbinic level, that on a rabbinic level, it looks like it's not really an asiya, that you didn't really do a good job of detaching it? Sounds like it's Minatara. How could it be Darabonin? That would be what is bothering Tosis. So to that, we can now appreciate Tosis' answer. Yesh lomar asmachta ba'almahu. That you're right. Minatara, it is not a problem of Tasol Minatasi, because you did do an Asiya. But Midarabonin, it is a problem of Tasol Minatasi. So why do they quote a Drasha if it's only Darabonin? So the famous idea that it's an asmachta, that it's a rabbinic stringency that is being plugged into a Torah pasuk. And on a rabbinic level, it's not considered a sufficient asiya, even though on a Torah level it is. The Marasha has a different understanding of this Tosfos, and that is as follows, that Tosfos did not have the girsa of lo minkara asiya didhu, which implies that we're dealing with a derabanan. And Tosfos assumed that Shalfinu Shlufi means that since you tried to break it by hand, as anyone who has tried to break a branch off by hand knows, that a lot of times, unless you have proper tools, it's very hard to do, and that part of it would be detached and part of it would be attached. So the psul then would be not a problem of Tasa Lamina Asui, but a problem of Mechuber, that is attached to the ground, and therefore, even though you detached it partially, but it's still somewhat attached to the ground, and therefore it is Chach Pasul. And that's why it's possible. So according to that understanding, Tosis is now asking that how could the Brisa give the reason why it's possible is because of Tasav Lamana Asui, but the real psul is because of Mechuber. And to that, Tosis now answers, Yishlomar smachta ba'almo, that the real psul is mechuber, and they only utilize Tasav lamina asui as some kind of allusion to the fact that there is a psul here, but it is an incorrect, on a fundamental level, application of the rule of Tasav lamina asui. So that's what the Aruch HaNer asks on the Marasha, among his other difficulties with the Marasha, that doesn't seem to fit so smoothly by having an asmachta about tasul manasui on a psul of mechuber. So that is the first answer of Tosis. Either going with Rashi and patching it up to explain that the pasuk is an asmachta, or going against Rashi, holding that the psul in the Gemara of Shalfinu Shlufi is a psul of mechuber, and the Gemara by saying tasul manasui as the source of that is just saying it's an asmachta, but really the psul is a different psul totally. Now Tosis gives a totally different approach. Inami, alternatively, Hachamayri kishenifshach umaura beklipa, where it was mostly broken off. That's the language of nifshach, but nonetheless, umaura it is still attached beklipa by just a little shell's worth. Again, those who tried to break off branches could relate to this. If you twist a branch, so a lot of times you have a little bit of branch that defies coming off. As a result of the fact that it is just minimally attached, Tosis continues, so the nourishment from the trunk of the tree is not going to be sufficient to be able to get to that branch based on that minimalist connection. And Tosis gives a parallel to that concept where we have that in Chulin, based on the Taisa Rosh, it could be Taisa referring to a Gemara on Kuf Chav Chesem Beis. They're very similar Gemaras there. One is a Brisa and one is a Mishnah Uktzin, but they talk in a very similar way. They were dealing again with a case of a branch that is mostly broken off, and it's holding on by a hair, so to speak. So there the Gemara states that even though it is minimally attached, but basically for most intents and purposes, or maybe for all intents and purposes with respect to the Gemaras there in Chulin, it is considered totally detached. It's Choshev Ketolish. It is considered like totally detached. So now Tosis points out, in our context, the Avogaf, the Choshev Ketolish, even though it is considered detached for the purpose of those topics of the Gemara Chulin, specifically, let's say, with respect to Tumas Ochlin, that if there are fruits on that branch, so even though fruits are not Makabel Tuma while they are attached to the tree, but effectively, if you have a branch that's detached and only holding on by a thread, so to speak, so those fruits are already considered detached from the tree, and therefore they are susceptible to Tuma if they get wet and have Hechshel Makabel Tuma and then come into contact with something Tame. The Tosis writes that even though, for all intents and purposes, basically it's considered Tolish, Mikomakom nevertheless, Kevin lo Nixas Legamri, since it's not totally detached, so with respect to Agamara, lo amrina and zoyasiya, that is not considered a total act of doing, of creating, and therefore Rav would agree that even though detaching the branch is a sufficient asiya to make the schach into schach kosher, but it has to be a total severance of the branch. But if you do not cut it off totally, even though for other purposes of halacha it's considered already detached, it is not considered a sufficient asiya to be kosher. And according to that understanding, tasav lo mina asi of the braisa would be quite literal, saying that it's pasul mina Torah and because of tasav lo mina asi. Just a final comment in terms of working out the transition between the first teretz and the second teretz, according to the Aruch HaNer, according to the Marasha. According to the Aruch HaNer, the first teretz was assuming, like Rashi, that it was totally detached. And the second teretz then goes up by saying that there's a little bit still attached. According to the Marasha, the first teretz was saying that it's like half attached. Halachically, it's still considered attached to the tree, and the main psul is really the fact that it's mechuber. The second teretz is now going down and saying that no, it's even more detached, but it's just holding on by a hair. Tois divrei maschil divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzedek. The Gemara had quoted a brisa in the context of plucking off berries of hadassim, which Bez Hashem will get to more at length in the next Toisvis, and it quoted that Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzedek held that you cannot pluck off the berries once you're already bound it together with the lulav and the other minim in order to make the hadassim kosher. And the Chachamim held that you can. So Tois just has a comment as to the identity of this Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzedek. Tosis right. Tana Hoya. He was a Tana, as clearly he's been quoted in a Braisa. So now Tosis writes, "V'efshes shezehu haniskar b'chama makomis b'shas." Am Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yosedek. You have in quite a few places in the Gemara where Rabbi Yochanan quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yosedek. Now, to work out the Amora math over here, Rabbi Yochanan was a first generation Amora. He was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, among other Rebbeim, a contemporary of Rav and Shmuel, who were all first generation Amoraim. So if he's quoting Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek, so obviously that was in an earlier generation. So the earlier generation from Rabbi Yochanan going up is presumably already the era of the Tanoim. So this is a very logical conclusion, as Tosa points out, that the same Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting things in his name was the Tana of our Braisa. Just an interesting comment I heard from my Rebbe Rav Herschel Schechter many times based on the Klolei HaShas, the Svarim that deal with the language of the Gemara, that when you have an Amora quoting something in the name of another person and it says Mishum, so that usually indicates that there were several generations in between. Otherwise it would say Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek. But here, according to Taisus, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. So why does it say Mishum? It should just say Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek. So perhaps the answer is precisely what Tosafot says, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek was a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. So it's not the Derech of the Gemara, perhaps, to say Amar Amora b'shem Atana, Amar Amora, Amar Tana. So maybe that's why it has the Mishum here, even though there was no generational gap. So now Tosis continue to point out that since Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek was presumably Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, and that's why he quotes many statements from him throughout Ches, so we're going to be forced to say that there were two Rav Shimon ben Yotzedeks, because we have a story that does not seem to be compatible with Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek being Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe. Ve'ein zehu, the perek zeh boirer, this is not the one that's mentioned in the third parak of Sanhedrin, Daf Chavav Mer Aleph, the Karano Resh Lakish Roye Bokar. The Gemara quotes a story there that Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek, together with another Talmudic personality, again, leave it vague, whether it was a Tana Namora, that they were going to be Ma'abra Neshana, to create a leap year. And Resh Lakish accompanied them, and he wasn't happy with the fact that they were Melamed Tzchus, that they viewed favorably various people who were working during Shemitah, claiming that maybe they had some kind of excuse. So Resh Lakish felt that they were being Mechazek Rishoyim, that they were Mechazek Oivei Aveira, so he referred to them as Roy Bokar, as the shepherds of cattle, and therefore they weren't worthy of being Ma'abra the Shana of declaring the leap year. So when they came back, so apparently it came out that Resh Lakish had spoken about them in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan disparagingly. And the Gemara records, V'amalu Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek, together with his colleague, that he can't really say anything to Resh Lakish for calling them Roy Bokar. V'amalu Rabbi Yochanan, Ikarinchu Roy Eitzayin, Maya Vidnalachu. Even if he called you sheep shepherds, which would be worse, because sheep shepherds are oftentimes known as gazlonim, because they pasture their sheep a lot of times on other people's fields, as opposed to roy bokar, that only sometimes are they considered gazlonim, not always. So maya vidnalachu. So what am I going to do for you? Meaning, I can't help Rish Lakish's barbs against you. Rashi and others don't really explain what that means, why Rabbi Yochanan was powerless to say anything. So Rashi explains that it was Rischa Dairaisa, that in a Talmudic debate, sometimes there's name-calling. Tosis notes that the whole episode doesn't seem to make sense if Rabbi Shimon Yotzedek was one of Rabbi Yochanan's teachers. The Lo Hava Mahader Lehochi, Rabbi Yochanan would not have responded that way by saying, what could I do? I can't do anything if Rish Lakish calls you names, if that were his Rebbe. Ella, rather, Moicha Hoya Al Kavod Rabo. He would have been Mocha. He would have stood up for his Rebbe and censured Rish Lakish seriously for calling his Rebbe names. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek was no more than a colleague of Rabbi Yochanan. So even though Rabbi Yochanan quotes Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek, that must have been a different Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek. Just in closing this Tosis, it's interesting that Tosis proves primarily that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek was a Tana, who quite possibly could have been the one that Rabbi Yochanan quoted teachings from a lot in Shas, from the fact that he's quoted in the Braisa. So it's interesting that the Gemara and the Avlamed Gilamad Aleph that quotes this Braisa too has a totally different girsa. Instead of Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek, it has Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadik. And the Ritva and other Rishayim on our page have Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Tzadik. So according to that, it could very well be that Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzedek was not a Tana, that he was in the generation of the Amoraim, but Tosis's analysis at the end could still be in place, because if Rabbi Yochanan is quoting many things from Shem ben Yetzedek, it sounds like he was his Rebbe, and he would have stood up for his Rebbe, and when Rish Lakish referred to them by ignominious titles, so they would still have to be two Reb Shimon ben Yetzedeks, but it could be that there is no such Tana Reb Shimon ben Yetzedek quoted in Tanaic material, because this particular Brisa, which I think perhaps is the only one in Shas that quotes Reb Shimon ben Yetzedek in a Tanaic context, could be a different name. Toises de Rimaschel v'hocha b'melef lulav misuka kamifugi, to recall the context of the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel have a machlokes as to the application of the psul of tas of lomen asui. According to Rav, it's sufficient to do a minor act in order to be called an asiya, so it should be kosher. According to Shmuel, you need a major act. The classic example the Gemara mentions here is that according to Rav, it's enough to just cut tzchach that's attached to the ground. That's considered an asiya if that is placed on top of a sukkah. While it's attached, cutting it is enough. According to Shmuel, the act has to be placement on the sukkah. So if one trained the vine on the sukkah, it would be insufficient to just cut it. You'd have to lift it up and put it back. So the Gemara now quotes a braisa, which at first glance the Gemara thought was Kitanoi, reflects the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel among the Tanoim. The case of the braisa is as follows. We're dealing with a hadas, whose anavim, the berries, are more than the alim, than the leaves. And if the anavim are black or blue, the hadas as it is not considered hader, it's not beautiful, and therefore it's pasul. And as the Mishnah tells us in the third parak, you have to kosherize it by lessening the degree of berries, the amount of the berries there. So, and that certainly would kosherize it. The Mishnah there in the third parak tells us that you're not allowed to lessen it on Yom Tif, because that would be considered some kind of rabbinic tikkun, like makah b'patish, because you would be making it kosher through that act of lessening the berries. So it has to be done in Erev Yom Tif. So the Braisa picks up with the topic of what happens if b'di'eved you violated that din the Rabbanan and you fixed it on Yom Tif, are the Adasim indeed kosher? So that's the language of the Braisa of Ovar V'Likton, as Rashi explains, Ovar al Dirich Achamim, you violated the din the Rabbanan, so are the Adasim kosher or not? So the Achrayim point out that here we don't apply the principle of mitzvah baba vera, which is spoken about by Taisus earlier and the Gemara later. The issue is some kind of other issue that as a result of the fact that it's already Yom Tif, so some other issue involved as to whether or not the lessening of the berries is going to cause the hadasim to indeed be kosher, as we shall see in a moment. So Rav Shimon ben Yetzedek says that lessening the berries doesn't help, it's still pasul. According to the Chachamim, it's kosher. So what are they arguing about? So Gemara initially suggested that they're arguing about the machlokes in Rav and Shmuel. That according to Rishim ben Yehoitzedek, you need a major act in order to be considered an asiya, so that it shouldn't be tasav lamin asui. And the Gemara says that we have the premise that we require eged, that all the minim have to be bound together. Recall, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So according to the original stance of the Gemara, both Rav Shimon ben Yehoitzedek and the Chachamim are going within that view of Rabbi Yehuda, that you require eged. And number two, that the rule of Tasav Lamina Asui, even though it is originally derived concerning a pasuk that appears by Sukkah, Chag HaSukkah is Tasalcha, but that we derive Lulav from Sukkah. And therefore the psul of Tasav Lamina Asui is relevant to Lulav as well, to the Minim as well. So with that background in mind, so according to Rav Shimon ben Yetzedek, who aligns himself according to the original view of the Gemara with the stance of Shmuel, that you need a major act in order to be called an asiya. That major act here would be the eged. The eged would be the act of binding or tying the minim together. So what you have to have is that all the minim have to be kosher, and then you bind it together in a state of kashrus. To recall, that's exactly what Tasav Lamina Asui requires, that the asiya should be done in a way such that after the asiya, the Chefta Shel Mitzvah, the mitzvah object, is now ready to go and it's kosher to be used. So if the minim are already bound together and the berries are more than the leaves of the hadasim, so you have bound them together in a state of psul, where it's disqualified. So the minor act of just removing the berries would not qualify as an asiya in order to make it kosher. The only thing that would help, theoretically, would be is after you lessen it, to untie it and then to tie it again. More about that later as we learn the Tosfos as to whether it's even possible to do on Yom Tov. According to the Chachamim, it's kosher. And according to the Gemara's initial stage, that view aligns itself with the view of Rav, that the minor act of removing the berries is sufficient in order to qualify for a ta'aseh, that it's considered an asiya and it's not min ha'asui. Then the Gemara was Docha, that Pshat in the Braisa, that it's possible that they're not arguing about the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but rather that everyone basically agrees to Shmuel, that if you need an Asiyah, you need a big Asiyah. And here, if we would require Eged, it would have to be the Eged itself. It would be insufficient just to remove the berries. And basically, the Machlokas revolves around whether Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui is relevant here. One context in which that Machlokas would take place is that they're arguing about whether or not the Dalet Minim require an Asiyah, whether Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui is relevant to the Dalet Minim. Maybe it's only relevant to Sukkah, as we briefly mentioned earlier, because it's concerning Sukkah where the Pasuk appears of Chag HaSukkah's Taslacha. So maybe we do not derive Lulav from Sukkah. So that is the Dibur Maschil of Tosfos, V'hocha b'meilif Lulav misukkah kamiflagi. That is the point of debate, that Rav Shimon ben Yoy Tzedek is disqualifying it because he holds that there's a need for Eged, and we do learn out Lulav from Sukkah, and therefore there is a requirement, there is a disqualification of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, and as we mentioned earlier, everyone's going according to this understanding, according to Shmuel's view of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, that you require a major act, and since we require Eged, the only act that could qualify is Eged itself, and therefore removing the berries would be puzzle. And the Chachamim hold, there is no requirement of Asiyah concerning the Dalet Minim, and if there's no requirement of Asiyah, there's certainly no psul of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, because they hold that you do not learn Lulav from Sukkah. Alternatively, the Gemara points out, again, going with the assumption that everyone holds, like Shmuel, that you require a major act if there would be a problem of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, but it revolves around whether or not Lulav requires an Asiyah as follows as to whether or not Lulav requires Eged. That Rav Shimon ben Yoy Tzedek holds like Rav Yehuda that Lulav requires Eged, and therefore an Asiyah is necessary, and therefore there's a psul of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, and therefore if you remove the berries, it doesn't really help. According to the Chachamim, they hold Lulav ain't Tzarech Eged against Rav Yehuda. And since Lulav ain't Tzarech Eged, there's no Asiyah. Since there's no Asiyah, there's certainly no psul of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, and therefore the removal of the berries is not a problem. So Tosfos' topic is that those two basic approaches within the Braisa that the Gemara presents here, whether or not they're arguing about the Nekudas HaMachlokas, the point of debate between Rav and Shmuel, as to how much of an act you have to do in order to avoid the problem of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, or whether the Machlokas revolves around the Nekudas HaMachlokas, the point of debate as to whether or not there is a problem at all of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui here, that maybe the Dalet Minim don't have a psul of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, or alternatively, that they don't even require an Asiyah because they don't need Eged, according to one opinion. But all of those ways of understanding the debate are not directly relevant as to whether or not you lessen the berries on Yom Tov or during the week. So why then did Rabbi Shimon ben Yoy Tzedek and the Chachamim have to debate the case of Ovar Velikton, which again, Rashi explains, Tosfos understands that as well, that Ovar Velikton is talking about where you did it on Yom Tov. Why did they have to debate that you did it on Yom Tov? The same Machlokas could have been expressed even if you did it on Erev Yom Tov. And there the advantage, of course, would be that we're not dealing with Aveira. The Gemara generally has a cloud that all things being equal, unless you ask to talk about an Aveira, but Otter B'Shia Skinan, we're dealing with wicked people who are violating the Halacha. So if you could clearly demonstrate the Machlokas in a case of Heter, why would you demonstrate it in a case of Isser? The issue of Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, both within the sub-debate between Rav and Shmuel as to what is Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, and the other approach of whether or not the Dalet Minim have the requirement of an Asiyah, and whether Ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui is relevant at all, those are equally relevant b'chol as well. So that is the topic of Tosfos. In the words of Tosfos as follows, he's going to have three answers to this question. The reason that they debated concerning Ovar Velikton, meaning that they took the berries off on Yom Tov, and they didn't debate in a simpler case, without Aveira, without sin, where they took the berries off on Erev Yom Tov. So here is Tosfos' first answer. The voy lashmeinan ein dichoy etzel mitzvahs kideisa beferek lulav ha-gozel. Since it also wanted to tell you, to use the expression that the Gemara uses in Brachos of Beis Amid Aleph, amil sa'agav urcha kamashmalan. It's teaching you a side halacha that you wouldn't have known had it been talking about the simpler case of chol. What is that side halacha? The Voy Lashminan is coming to teach you that ein dichui etzel mitzvos, that this concept of dichui, which we'll explain again in a moment, concerning mitzvos does not apply and it's not a psul. Kideisa perak lulav hagazel, as the Gemara spells out in the third parak on the Aflamet Gilamet Aleph. What is this concept of dichui? So this is spelled out more in the third parak. It was briefly alluded to by Tosis on the Bezamet Aleph at the very beginning of the Masechta. The concept of dichui, which primarily applies in terms of its headquarters concerning korbanos, that when you have a mitzvah object that at some point in its status of being a mitzvah object becomes nidche, becomes pushed aside and pusel from it being able to be used as a mitzvah object, and then at a later point it becomes kosher again. So is that object, can it have a halachic tchias ameisim? Can it be resurrected and now be used for the mitzvah? Or should we say the fact it was pushed aside once makes it unfit for the mitzvah forever? Within that, there are different subcategories. It's spelled out primarily in the third parak of Dichui Meikara, where it was never fit for the mitzvah. And then there's Nireh V'Nidcheh V'Chazer V'Nireh, where originally it was fit for the mitzvah. And then it becomes unfit, and then it becomes fit again. Second category is worse than the first category, but that's not a topic for now. So specifically, in the context of our brisa, a lulav that has berries is in a state of dichui, because right now, if the berries are more than the leaves, it is pasul. And a little bit of extra background, based on the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, everyone would agree, and this is something that the Gemara states explicitly on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that if you buy a hadas or snip a hadas off the bush with the berries, parenthetically, the berries are typically nowadays always removed by the sellers. Even the green ones are removed, so you don't really see them, but naturally the hadasim, or mature hadasim at least, will have berries. So everyone agrees that if it's before Yom Tov and you didn't do Eged yet, then we could remove the berries from the hadasim and make it kosher. That's an explicit Mishnah that says that if you have hadas with more anovim than the leaves, so you have an ability to lessen the anovim, and then you'll make it kosher, at least on Erev Yom Tov. But according to a Rashi explains, on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, there are two situations where you already box in the concept of dichui if it indeed is a problem. When is that? When it is now labeled as a mitzvah object. When is it labeled as a mitzvah object? So just cutting the hadas off the bush is not enough. So you're going to need one of two things. If we paskin lulav tzorach eged, that it requires the minim to be bound together, so at the time that you do the act of binding them together, it is now qualified as a mitzvah object. So at that point, if dichui would be relevant, so then it would be possible to remove the berries at that point because it is now me'ugad, it's bound together, and it's considered a chefza shel mitzvah. Another way, an even more direct way, of making it already have the label of chefza shel mitzvah such that the issue of dichui is relevant if you hold it is a problem, would be when Yom Tov actually comes in. I think the sub-debate was night or day. Let's go the simple shot during the day, because that's when the mitzvah actually applies. So during the day, it is now theoretically fit to do the mitzvah. If the mitzvah object is now in a state of being nidche, because it has more berries than leaves, so the hadas is pasul, so that would plug into the topic called dichui. So now, without getting involved in all the details, the Marsha on the Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph points out that Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and that seems to fit very nicely with the Tosfos over here as well, even though here the Marsha does not comment, that Tosfos is going with the assumption that the only thing that is going to label it as a mitzvah object, such that the topic of dichui will be relevant, if it indeed is a psul, is when Yom Tov arrives, or at least the day of Yom Tov, if we make that assumption, because that's the time you actually yotze the mitzvah. But just the eged alone, if done on Erev Yom Tov, will not be enough. Not like Rashi said on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, that would not be enough to qualify it as a mitzvah object such that the topic of dichui, if it's a psul, would be relevant. So putting that all together, now I could appreciate the words of Tosfos. Again, to read it inside, from the third line, Devoy lashminan, de ein dichui etzel mitzvahs, ki de'isa b'perek lulav hagozel. That the reason that they debated dafka on Yom Tov, even though the machlokes, as of the stage of the Gemara that Tosfos is going on with his Dibur Maschil, is whether or not Tasa v'lomina osui is an issue at all with respect to the Dalet Minim, because maybe we only have Tasa v'lomina osui with respect to Sukkah and not with respect to the Dalet Minim. And that machlokes could have been equally expressed if the lessening of the berries took place on Erev Yom Tov after the Eged. But had we debated on Erev Yom Tov, So then we would only know the respective shitas of Rishimim ben Yosedek and the Chachamim concerning Tasa v'lom and Ha'asui. But we would have no insight concerning the topic of Dichui. But now that they're debating on Yom Tov as well, so as we mentioned earlier, Milsa Agavurcha Kamashmalan, it teaches you a side halacha, that in the view of the Chachamim, that's the way Tosis on Lamed Gimel and Aleph point out, and it's going on the Chachamim, that in the view of the Chachamim, not only is there not a problem of Tasa Lomana Asa concerning the Minim, if you remove the berries on Yom Tov, because they hold, and the stance of the Gemara that Tosis is commenting on, that you do not derive Lula from Sukkah, but also, it's not a problem of Dichui. Why would it be a problem of Dichui if there would be a problem of Dichui? Because it's already on Yom Tov, and the label of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah has already fallen on the Dalet Minim, and when there are more berries than leaves, it is in a state of Psul, it is Nidcha from the Mitzvah, and nonetheless, the Chachamim hold that the removal of the berries on Yom Tov will kosherize it, even though you violated the rabbinic law of that you're not allowed to lessen it. But b'di'evit, it will be kosher. If there be a problem of dichoy, there's no way you can make it kosher by removing the berries. So, parenthetically, by debating Reb Shimon ben Yosedek on Yom Tov, the Chachamim are demonstrating their view that ein dichoy etzel mitzvos, and it is not a problem to lessen the berries, even though it entered the Yom Tov with the berries on. In sum, according to this approach, what we see from the debate concerning lessening the berries on Yom Tov is that the Chachamim are maintaining two halachic stances in order to kosherize it through the removal of the berries. Shita number one that they have is that there's no problem of Tasa Lomana Asui, and that is because we do not derive Lula from Sukkah with this regard. And Shita number two is that there's no problem of Dichui. By contrast, Rav Shimon ben Yosedek holds puzzle, so the way the Gemara presents the Machlokas is the point of debate is concerning that first idea, that they hold that there is a problem of Tasa v'lom and Asui, namely, that we do derive Lulav from Sukkah. Theoretically, Rav Shimon ben Yosedek could have held that it's puzzle because of the issue of Dichui, but according to our Gemara, that is not the point of debate. So in sum, according to Tosfos, really, they could have had the debate on Erev Yom Tov, because that's the main point of a debate of Tasa v'lom and Asui. But by debating Yom Tov as well, we demonstrate the view of the Chachamim that ain Dichui. Parenthetically, the Gemara on Lamed Gilamed Aleph actually had an initial understanding that maybe the Nakuda Samachlok is the point of debate between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Yosedek is exactly about that point. That the Chachamim hold that there's not a problem of Dichui, and that's why lessening the berries on Yom Tov is not a problem. And Rav Shimon Yosedek holds that there is a problem of Dichui, and that's why it is a problem even with the Eved, and it's possible when you take off the berries. But the Maskana Sagamara there, as well as the totality of our Gemara here, is maintaining that there's no Dichui b'mitzvos, and therefore there's no problem of lessening the berries on Yom Tov in terms of it still being possible from that perspective. And if there is a problem, it's some other issue. This is Tosis' first answer. Now we have Tosis' second answer. Inami. Mishon de me'erav Yom Tov hayayochol esaken lechatchile lehatir ogdo v'lachza ula ogdo. That the reason they chose to debate on Yom Tov itself is because had it happened on Erev Yom Tov that they lessened the berries, even though the main point of debate of Tasa v'lom and Ha'asui would have been expressed there equally as well. But there, Hayayachal Lesaken Lechatchila Lahatir Ogdo V'lachz L'Ogdo, had the story happened on Erev Yom Tov, so after you lessened the berries on Erev Yom Tov, so Reb Shimon ben Yosedek would hold, right now it's puzzle. Chacham hold, right now it's kosher. But even Reb Shimon ben Yosedek holds, right now it's puzzle, there's still a way to fix it. How is there a way to fix it? By untying all the minim, undoing the eged, and then rebinding it now in a state where the hadasim are kosher. And then it would be kosher, according to all. The reason they chose to debate on Yom Tov, because there Rabbi Shimon ben Yosedek's psul is a psul with an exclamation point. That if you remove the berries on Yom Tov, it's psul and there's no way to make it kosher, at least on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to untie it and tie it again, because that would be a dual problem of the malach of matir and the malach of kosher, of untying and tying. Because if you hold lulav tzorach eged, you need a double knot, as the Poskim point out. You need some kind of knot that would be an issim in a Torah to tie in Yom Tov. So untying that knot would be an issa deraisa of matir, and tying that knot would be an issa deraisa of kosher. So that cannot be done on Yom Tov. So again, somewhat of a technical answer that Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek wanted to talk about a case where it's puzzle and there's no way to fix it. Even though the Gemara noted on Beis Amud Aleph that just because a Tana says something is puzzle, it doesn't mean there's no way to fix it. Seil Mad from a sukkah that's higher than 20 Amis, where the Mishnah said that it's puzzle, but certainly there is a way to fix it.
Lower the schach.
But at least here, the Braisa wanted to give a case where Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek was pronouncing puzzle with no way to fix it. A third answer, the final answer of Tosfos, Inami, Kedepirish Bekuntris Lekamon.
As Rashi later on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph explains, in answer to this very question that Tosfos is raising here,
the Nokat Pluktayu B'Yomtif, that they chose to debate on Yomtif rather than Chol, Lemeimar DeBosar Ogdei Pligi. It's just another way of demonstrating that they're arguing in a situation where it's after the Eged occurred. Bosar Ogdei Pligi, that it's after they already bound it, that's when the Machlokus applies. The HaBiYomtif Lo Ogedle, since on Yomtif for sure you're not tying it up together, as we mentioned, because you have to tie it in a way that's going to be a Kesher Shel Kayama binding knot, which is Asr on Yomtif. To explain that a little better, to recall the context of our Gemara that Tosis is going on is B'meilif Lulav Misukah Kamiflagi, that the point of the debate is the issue of whether or not Tasav Alomana Osu is relevant here, whether that halacha applies to Lulav or not, whether we derive it from Sukkah. But at this point, the Gemara is assuming that everyone holds that you require Eged. Now, why did the Gemara have to make that assumption that everyone holds you require Eged? Because in order to entertain the possibility that there's a problem of Tasav Alomina Asui, that is only in a situation, as we mentioned in our introduction, where you require an Asiya. And if you wouldn't require Eged, then there's no Asiya that's necessary. So how could you have a problem of Tasav Alomina Asui? So in order to demonstrate that this machlokus, as to whether or not it's a problem of Tasa Lomina Asui, is talking about a situation where indeed you already did the Eged, thus plugging in the machlokus of whether or not you're allowed to lessen the berries. Again, the Gemara going with the assumption that the lessening of the berries is not considered an Asiya, because at this point the Gemara is assuming that everyone holds like Shmuel stands, that you need a major act, and that major act is the Eged itself, and the lessening of the berries is not enough for that. So we have to be talking about a case where you already did the Eged. Because if you didn't do the Eged yet, and then you lessened the berries, and then you bound it together, then everyone would hold that that's kosher. Because you did an Asiya, Behechsher, where all the Minim were kosher, and only then did you bind it. So in order to demonstrate that they're arguing a case where it's after the Eged, and the berries are still there, and therefore there can be an issue of Tasar Lamina Asui, and that exactly is the debate between Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek and the Chachamim as to whether or not it's an issue or not. So they spoke about the case of Yom Tov. Because one thing is clear. By the time Yom Tov comes in, if you hold you require Eged, you already did the Eged. Had it been talking about an Erev Yom Tov, so it wouldn't 100% be clear whether we're talking about before the Eged or after the Eged. And if it be before the Eged, then the Machlokas would not be relevant. Everyone would agree that you could lessen the berries and then tie it together. Of course, one could ask on that Pshat and Rashi, so why couldn't you accomplish the same thing by not arguing about a case whether you lessened the berries on Yom Tov? Why couldn't you just spell out in the Braisa that if you took the Minim and you bound them together and there's still more berries than leaves and then you took off the berries, so bingo, Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek would hold Pusel and the Chachamim would hold Kosher. So apparently, for Rashi, Kedarka Shel Gemara, that not always do we spell things out explicitly, sometimes implicitly. So by talking about Yom Tov, that is the equivalent of saying it's talking about after the Eged. But theoretically, the same result could have been accomplished by explicitly talking about a case of Chol, where it is after the Eged. Final comment before summarizing the Tosfos. The Marasha notes that the Divrei Maschil of Tosfos is going on the Maskonas HaGemara against the Havamina, where they thought that the Machlokes between Rav Shimon ben Yotzedek and the Chachamim revolved around the parameters of Tasav Olam and Ha'osui, whether you need an Asiya Gedola, which is the view of Shmuel, holding that lessening the berries is not considered an Asiya, or the all you need is an Asiya Kitana, which is the view of Rav, which corresponds to the view of the Chachamim, according to that understanding, and therefore lessening the berries is a good enough asiya. So that was the Havamina, but according to the Maskonas HaGemara, the issues revolve around whether there is or is not a problem bechlal of Tasav Lamina Osui, either because of the debate about whether we learn Lulav from Sukkah, or whether there's a need for an asiya altogether, revolving around whether there's a need for Eged. And it's on that Maskana that Tosis has his Kasha and gives his Terutzim. So the Marsha just notes that Tosis's kasha and his answers presumably should be equally relevant to the Havamin of the Gemara. That if the Machlokis revolves around Rav and Shmuel as to the parameters of what's called an Asiyah for Tasa Lamana Asui, so that debate also could have equally taken place if the berries were lessened during the weekday. Why then did they choose to debate on Shabbos? And the same answers could be given.
If so, asks the Marsha, why is the Tosis only commenting on the Maskana in his Dibur Maschil? Why didn't he already comment on the Havamina, where the Gemara thought that the debate revolves around Rav and Shmuel?
So the Marsha gives a simple answer that Tosis wanted to focus on the Maskana rather than focusing on the Havamina, even though the content of Tosis would be relevant to the Havamina as well. Just in closing, a quick conceptual summary of the three answers of Tosis. The first answer is explaining that they spoke about Shabbos in order to teach an extra Chiddush, that according to the Chachamim, there's no issue of Dichui. The second answer is explaining that talking about Shabbos gives an extra twist and an extra emphasis on the words puzzle of Rabbi Shimon ben Yoitzedek, puzzle in the sense that there's no way to fix it on Yom Tif. And the third answer is just to highlight the case at hand that we're dealing with a situation of where it is already after Eged. And that is highlighted by talking about Yom Tif, because for sure by then the Eged would have been done.
The Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim as to whether or not lulav tzorach eged or ain lulav tzorach eged. Whether it's a Torah law that just like Sukkah has an asiyah that you have to put the schach on top, l'shem tzeil. So the Dalad Minim also have an asiyah that you have to formally bind them together. Pais can point out with a double knot in order to put them all together, and only then are you yotze the mitzvah. And the Chacham disagree, and they hold that Eged is not a specific lulav law in terms of making the minim, and there's a lechatchila that was supposed to do Eged as a hider mitzvah, the general rule of Zekeli van Vehu. So Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that lulav tzorach eged, derives it from Egzei Reshava, lekicha lekicha, from the Agudas Ezov, that's mentioned concerning the Karban Pesach. And the word lekicha is used there, lekachtem, agudas, ezov, and the same word lekicha appears concerning the minim, lekachtem lechem bayom harishon. And the Chachamim don't learn that gzei reshava, as the language of the Gemara, which is the Dibur Maschil of Tosfos, lekicha, lekicha, lo yalfina. So Tosfos' implicit question is, but there are Gemaras where that kind of gzei reshava, a similar kind of gzei reshava, is utilized by the Gemara, and it seemingly is unanimous. Namely, Bereish Kiddushin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Yalfinan, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Efren, one of the most famous of gzei reshavas in Shas, that we derive from the fact that Avraham Avinu bought the Ma'aras HaMachpelah from Ephron with money, with Kesef, and he uses the term Kicha, as it says, Avram tells Ephron, Nasati, Kesef, Asada, Kach, Mimeni. And concerning marrying a woman, the Kenyan of Kiddushin, it says, Ki Yikach, Ish Isha. So we make a Xereshava, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephron, that Kiddushin can be affected, together with two other possible Kenyanim, Shtar and Bia, with Kesef. And that seems to be unanimously held Xereshava. And even the Chachamim here, who reject the Xereshava of Rabbi Yehuda, of Lekicha Lekicha, seem to hold the Gzera Shava of Kicha Kicha concerning Kiddushin. So why is that? Tosis continue, Aval Hacha, Lo Yalfina Gzera Shava de Lekicha. Here they don't derive that Gzera Shava. So Tosis seemingly just notes the fact that we do hold of Kicha Kicha, according to the Chachamim, but we don't hold of Lekicha Lekicha concerning Eged. Why not? So the different possibilities that the Achronim give, sticking to Rishonim, which from which all the Achronim's answers are either based on or they're machaving to them, so they quote a Tosfos in Masechta Menachos on the Chof Zayin Amud Aleph that has a parallel sugya to the Eged. And there Tosfos point out that the reason the Chacham reject the Gzeira Shava of Lekicha Lekicha is either because the Gzeira Shava has to be Mufna, it has to not be used for the pshat or for some other drasha. It has to be available to make a gzeira shava. Again, not to get involved in the details now, whether it has to be mufta mishnei atzadim or even mitzad echad, whether it has to be open for utilization for a drasha from both sides or only from one side. But it has to be to some extent mufna. So teretz number one of the Tosfos in Menachos is that lekicha lekicha in the view of the Chachamim is necessary for other drushes. Indeed, there's no shortage of drushes. What we derive from
Well, lekachtem, both lefipshuto, that you have to take the minim, and also lekichatama, where we derive various psulim on the minim from that, and other drushes. That's pshat number one of the Taisa Menachas. And pshat number two is that the words are very crucial, because you can't make a gzeira shav unless you have a tradition from your Rebbe, as Rashi points out. So they had a tradition concerning kicha kicha, but not concerning likicha and likicha. So perhaps Tosus is driving at over here one of those two Pirushim. Smasher from the Tosus Ben Peretz, yet a third understanding, that the Kabbalah, the tradition that they have to have from the Rebbe about deriving a Gzeira Shava, is not just on the words, but the application of the words. So they had the tradition to derive Kicha Kicha concerning Kiddushin from Stei Efren, but they didn't have a tradition to derive Likicha Likicha, not concentrating on the nuance of the different structure of the how the verb is being conjugated, the form of kicha versus the form of likicha, but the fact that the Chacham didn't have that tradition as Rabbi Yehuda had to derive lulav from Agudas Ezov. And Rabbi Yehuda did have that tradition. That pshat to the Taisa Ben Peretz seems to be implied by our Rashi here. Just parenthetically, there's a big discussion about this. I was researching in the Encyclopedia Talmudis under the entry of Gzeira Shava. That formulation, which is implied by Rashi here and the Taisa Ben Peretz, that the tradition that you have to have from the Rebbe is not just about the words, but the application, is somewhat difficult. Because if that were true, so why shouldn't you believe someone else's tradition about what they received from their Rebbe about the application of it? Much has been said about this in the name of the Ramban and other Mefarshim and other Rishonim, that idea of receiving it from the Rebbe is presumably based on the fact that the Gzeira Shavas were not complete. If we had a package deal from the Rebbe all the way back to Sinai as to what the nature of the words were to make the drasha from and also the application of it, then there shouldn't be any debate about that. But that what they had on file was either which words were to be utilized for a Gzeira Shava, but not necessarily application, and that's why you sometimes have debates on that. Or alternatively, which two parshias were meant to be compared via Gzeira Shava, but not the specific words that were meant to be utilized. So either the words were Sinaitic or the Parshias were Sinaitic, but not both. And that's why you sometimes have debates, and they had to rely on traditions from their teachers as to how to darshan it. But if, as the Tosfos Ben Peretz and Rashi implied, that there was a tradition that Rabbi Yehuda had from his Rebbe to derive Lekicha Lekicha, both concerning the words and concerning the application, and there was a tradition that the Chacham had to derive Kicha Kicha, both concerning the words and concerning the application, comparing Kiddushin and Stei Efren, so why would there be machlokas about it? So, Tzorach Iyun, to learn more about the concept of Gzeira Shava. Places to be maschil, makish, thuka, lachagiga. Our Gemara, at the bottom of the page, in one of the attempted drushes to derive the various qualifications that is necessary for kosher schach, so Rabbi Yochanan wants to learn it from Chagiga, as it says, Chaga Sukkah is Tasalacha, comparing Sukkah to Chagiga, just as the animal, the Korban Chagiga that's brought, is not Makabel Tumah while it's alive, and it grows from the ground, Gidulim and Aretz, in the sense that it eats things that grow from the ground. So too, the schach also has to grow from the ground and not be makabel tuma. So Tosis just wants to work out how the various psukim, where it says chag asukos, are utilized for drushes, and there should not be an overlap in drushes. So Tosis comment: Hocha maisikro de chag asukos tasalcha. The full pasuk or pasuk fragment reading chag asukos tasalcha shivas yomim. Ula'el earlier on the Tesem at Aleph. The Asrina Natsay Sukkah, Mishim de Iskish Lachagiga. To recall, there was a drosha that, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agreed to, that the Schach, and according to some Rishonim, the walls as well, are compared to Chagiga. And just as Chagiga is Lashem, so too Sukkah is Lashem, meaning that just as Chagiga is Asur Bano, you can't use it for your own purposes, so too the Schach cannot be utilized, let's say, for firewood once it's designated for the mitzvah, it's to be used only for the mitzvah. So there, Ma'isikra, the Gemara brings a different pasuk of Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yomim Lashem, not our pasuk of Chag HaSukkos, Taslacha Shivas Yomim, but Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yom Lashem. That pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Shivas Yom Lashem is a pasuk in Emor. The pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taslacha Shivas Yom is a pasuk in Re. So in this way, there's no overlap of drushes. The drasha are comparing sukkah to chagiga of Har Gemara, at least as a havamin. In the end, Rabbi Yochanan's words are rejected because otherwise you should be able to use animals for schach, which is not true. But at least within that attempt, so we were deriving it from chag sukkah to asalacha. But the drasha and laftes, where we compare sukkah to chagiga to say that just as chagiga is aser to be used for other purposes, so to sukkah is aser to be used for other purposes. That's a different pasuk. Of Chag HaSukkos, Shivas Yom Lashem. So the Marsha comments on this Tosfos that if you look on the Gemara and the Tesemet Aleph, so the Gemara had other drushes that were derived from the Pasuk that our Gemara and the Yud Aleph Amid Beis uses as well. Our Gemara derives from Chag HaSukkos Taslacha, comparing Sukkos to Chag in terms of the qualifications of Schach. And the Gemara and the Tesemet Aleph, from that very same pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taslacha, derives other drashas. Beshamai learned from there that you have to make the sukkah lishmo. It has to be for the sake of the Chag of Sukkos. Tasa l'shem Chag. To recall, that's what Beshamai held, that it's not enough just to make it l'shem tzeil for the sake of shade. We have to make it l'shem ha-mitzvah. And Beshil derived from Chag HaSukkos Taslacha, again it says Shivas Yomim, that you could make the sukkah on Chol HaMoed also. And not like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you have to have a sukkah for the full 7 days and you can't build it in the middle. So isn't the pasuk already taken for another drasha? The Marsha answers that those drushes, the drasha of Beishamai, that you have to make it the Shem Chag, and the drasha of Beisil, that it could be made during any of the 7 days, and it doesn't have to be for the full 7 days. So those are not hekeshim. There's only one hekesh from that pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taslacha, and that is the hekesh of Har Gemara to show the qualifications of the schach. So the Aruch Laner has a difficulty with that pshat to the Marsha and gives his own
interpretation as to how to resolve that difficulty.
Tais de Maschil, the Gidulo Minaoretz. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara made a hekish in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, comparing Sukkah to Chagiga, that just as Chagiga, the animal is Namakabu Tumah, and it grows in the ground in the sense that it's nourished from the ground. So to Schach also has to literally grow from the ground. So Tosis notes that sometimes an animal is considered Gidulo Minaoretz in the sense that it's nourished from the ground, and sometimes an animal is not considered growing from the ground because it doesn't literally grow from the ground, depending on the context. So now Tosis marches through various areas in Shas concerning that. Number one. Reish b'kol ma'arvin, in Masechta Erevin, Nachav Zayinim Abayz, even though the context there is not Erevin. Gavi Ma'isir Sheini, Dichsev v'nasata kesef b'bakor v'atzon. Again, in Parashas Re'ei, so concerning Ma'isir Sheini, which of course is eaten in Yerushalayim, and if the person cannot eat the Ma'isir Sheini in Yerushalayim because it's too difficult to bring there, so he could redeem it on money, and then with the money, the Torah says, "Nasata kesef b'bakor v'atzon v'yayin v'ashechor." So you could buy animals with it. Korbanos is ideal, or you could buy wine, other fruits. So the Gemara puts together the klal prat klal, a general rule, the specifics followed by the general rule, that common denominator between bakor and tzon and yayin and shechor is that they're pre-mi-pri, that they have descendants, and it's gidule karka. So there, concerning Ma'isir Sheini, Choshev Behema, a Behema is considered gidula menoretz, it's considered growing from the ground, as is true concerning Har Gemara too. Aval, but, Peperek HaSoicher HaSapoilim, in the seventh perek of Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Tesemet Aleph, Gabei Daish, concerning the prohibition of Leisachsoim, Shor b'dishoy, that when you have an animal that's threshing, so you're not allowed to muzzle it. It has a right to eat the crops. And the Gemara derives from there that if an animal is allowed to eat the crops while it's working with them, so a person is also allowed to eat crops while it's working with the crops. Again, the details of what the animal is allowed to eat, what the person is allowed to eat, but within the drushes that the Gemara makes in Bav Metzia, it says that ma daish Gidulo minaretz, or gidule karka, it grows in the ground. So too, the person is only allowed to eat things that grow from the ground. But if he's hired to, let's say, milk the cows, or make it into butter, or make it into cheese, he would not be able to eat while he's working. So there we see that the Gemara assumes that animals are not considered as growing from the ground. Not like we say with respect to Ma'isir Sheini. Finally, Perakama de Kiddushin, first Perak of Kiddushin, of Yud Zayim Aleph, Gabe Hanoka, the gifts that have to be given to the Eved Ivri when he leaves the master's domain. So there the Torah says that you're supposed to give him Mitzoncha, Migarncha, Mikvecha, from your sheep, from your Goren, presumably referring to the grain crops, Mikvecha, from your presses, meaning grapes, olives that are pressed into wine and olive oil. So there, and trying to analyze what we learn from Tzoncha and what we learn from Garncha and Yikvecha, so something's being excluded. A machlok is whether being exclude money or whether we exclude mules, because somehow those are not productive in certain ways, like all the others are. So there, the Gemara pointed out that lo chashiv behema giduli karka, that even though you have to give Hanoka the parting gifts of the severance pay to the Eved, you give him from animals, but that cannot be derived from Goren and Yekev, because that is Gedulei Karka, and that grows from the ground, and behemoths don't grow from the ground. So that's why the Torah had to say Tzon, in order to say that you give the Eved Tzon as well. But wait, but we see in other contexts, behemoth is considered like Gedulei Karka. Our Gemara, the Gemara concerning Maaseh Sheni, so why is the Gemara in Kiddushin so certain that Tzon cannot be derived from Goren and Yekev in terms of the parting gift, and that's why the Torah had to write it separately, because it doesn't grow from the ground. Tos explains, as we mentioned briefly at the beginning, that behemoths are hybrids, the legabe dover ayotzim in a karka mamish, concerning something that actually grows in the ground literally, kigon daish, vigidulin, concerning losachsim sharbedishov, which we're extending over to people, so that's literal crops. And concerning Goren and Yekev, that's literal crops. So if all you have are those psukim, so lav yotze min hakarkahi, a behema is not literally grow from the ground. Ella, rather, she gedela min hakarka. It nourishes itself in the ground. Again, in the context, the word gedela here means that it grows in size from the food that it gets from the ground. It doesn't sprout from the ground. Tosis leaves it a little bit vague as to, so why in certain contexts do we focus on literal sprouting and in certain contexts we focus on growth. So the Tosis Rabbeinu Peretz provides for us what Tosis is presumably driving at as well, that it depends on the context. Concerning Maaseh Sheni, the Torah said explicitly that you're allowed to take the money that you opposed a Maaseh Sheni fruit that you had onto, and you're allowed to use it to buy Bokor Vatzon and Yayin Veshechar. So when we're trying to extrapolate what the common denominator is, so we say that both of those in some way are nourished from the ground. Crops by growing and animals by eating. But we cannot exclude animals from that because it says explicitly Bokor and Tzon. Concerning our Gemara, in Rabbi Yochanan's Drasha and our Gemara, we were trying to compare to Chagiga and say that just as Chagiga grows from the ground and is not Makabel Tumah, so to all things that grow from the ground and are not Makabel Tumah, Kosher V'Schach. So clearly in that kind of Drasha, when we refer to an animal as growing from the ground, we refer to it as being nourished from the ground. And then we're extending from that over to all kinds of crops that grow from the ground and are not Makabel Tumah, sharing those qualities with an animal. So clearly, when referring to the animals growing from the ground in that kind of context, starting with the word chag, meaning chagiga, the behemoth that's brought for a carbon, we're now referring to literally sprouting from the ground. But in the context of Bav Metzia, where losachsim sharbedisho is literally crops, so we have no right to go from crops to assume that, assuming a human being also is compared to the animal in this regard, that he eats crops, we have no right to extend that over to where the person is working with animals, such as milking or making cheese. Because ein lecha ba'or lechidusha, we only have the chiddush of daish, of threshing, which is dealing with crops that actually grows literally from the ground, and is not just nourished from the ground. Our baseline is literally dealing with crops. And the same thing concerning Hanukkah, that although the pasuk does write that you give tzon to the eved, and you give yekev and goren to the eved, but in the Gemara's drushes there, where they're trying to show why each verse would be necessary and couldn't be derived from the other one, so you would not be able to derive animals from the word Yekev and Goren, because those literally grow from the ground. And animals are only nourished from the ground. It's only where the Torah speaks about animals, and then you're trying to somehow compare them to crops, that then we come up with this broader perspective of being nourished from the ground is sufficient rather than literally sprouting. It's interesting that this discussion is very relevant to Hilchos Shabbos because there are brisos that quote that milking cows on Shabbos is definitely aser. Question is whether it's aser in a Torah midrabbanan. So some of the Rishonim learn that even according to the Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Ezer, that they agree that we're concerning milking cows, it's aser in a Torah. Even though the malacha is disha, is threshing, and threshing only applies on a Torah level to things that grow from the ground. So the Rishonim, including the Rambam, maintain that that is an iser in HaTorah because cows are considered as growing in the ground because they're nourished in the ground. Other Rishonim say that with respect to Hilchos Shabbos, it literally has to sprout from the ground in order to be subject to the malacha of Disha.
Min HaTorah.
So they have a debate as to what the specific criterion should be.